This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
We are talking with Bob Mata, defense attorney, about the Anna Kempner case. This is the 18-year-old girl who was found underneath a bed on the Carnival Horizon by housekeeping. Later determined that she was killed by asphyxiation, essentially. The suspect at this point right now is a 16-year-old step-sibling who was sharing the room with her. And there's a lot of questions about what exactly happened in that room. What happened prior to this cruise? Was there warning signs that were ignored? Bob, is there any world where the 16-year-old walks away without criminal charges being filed against him? Is there any world where they can look at this, where the family is very adamant and we don't want to press charges? Not like they really have the choice of pressing or not here when someone's dead. But is there any world where they can look at this, or they could may process this and go, horrible accident, stimulated, over testosterone, asshole 16-year-old that was horsing around, did this chokehold, and it was a total fucking accident, but freaked out and then hid the body. Is there any way that there's no charges against this kid?
I don't think so. No. I really don't. In terms of the fact that they know how she died, yeah, and it appears to be at the hands of another, and it appears to be that the only potential suspect is the stepbrother. I don't see how he's going to avoid charges. You know, being that he is a minor, you know, it's treated differently though. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's the question then becomes, are they going to try him as an adult, or are they going to try him as a minor? You know, if you were to ask my wife, she's always adamant that the kids whose brains are not fully formed, which a 16-year-old's brain is not fully formed, you know, that they should never be charged as an adult, you know, but they do it. We see it all the time. They charge kids in some of these cases that are just brutal as adults. So that'll be the first question that they're going to have to try to wrangle with, whether or not they charge him as a minor or as an adult, and then kind of move from there. But I cannot see any set of circumstances based on the fact that they know that she was choked out.
Yeah.
Well, that he's not going to get charged.
Reports are that he was an emotional wreck once they discovered the body.
No shit.
Yeah, obvious. Yeah, right? Well, you could have a very stoic, you know, he could have been in the buffet line, you know, for more tacos or something. And like, hey, we found a body in your room. It's your step-sibling. Okay, great. Do they have the green salsa, though? Yeah, I mean, you could have that. So the fact that you do have someone that is showing remorse and isn't co-burgering it. Right. That's a good thing. I mean, it's not a good thing, but it shows
empathy. You know,
empathy. It shows recognition that something horrible took place,
or just complete delusion that he thought that somehow,
yeah,
nobody was going to figure this shit out.
True. Yeah, that's true too.
And he's like, oh, you know, like, I don't know.
What are the tears for? Yeah,
yeah. I mean, like, to me, clearly this was an interior cabin. I don't know. This was an interior cabin because I have a sneaking suspicion that
the body might have gone off the side.
That's right. You know, like, I think that's probably what, you know, so I'm assuming, yeah, it's interior cabin. They didn't have the sliding door and the little balcony to toss her over. But yeah, I don't know, man. I think that the kids, That's going to be the interesting part, to see where this thing goes from the psychological evaluation of the kid side of it, you know, just to figure out what the hell was going on with them.
I've been on cruises in the past, and Tony, I know you've gone on them, and they're lovely vacations, but there's just this slight danger lurking. Like, if you want to get rid of somebody, just shove them overboard. I mean,
right. It's hard to disprove it.
Yeah.
Well, like, oh, I don't know. She was leaning over and fucking just fell over.
The deck was wet, you know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there is that lurking sense of doom on cruise ships sometimes. They're, you know, and they're very, they're dizzying, you know, especially the big ones. They're just like a huge maze of hallways, and it's, I don't know.
There's so much unknown about them. I mean, from the weather to what kind of a group of people end up on the ship at the same time. There's just, there's so many variables that it just, to me, seems like the perfect playground for somebody who wants to do something nefarious.
Yeah.
But you're on camera everywhere. I mean, you could do something. There are prisons. There are not prisons, but there are jail cells on cruise ships.
Not the Love Boat anymore, folks.
No, it's not. But let's talk about that a little bit. The fact that this did all take place at sea. How does that play into the legality of all of this, into jurisdiction, into how this goes forward, if at all?
It's a fascinating question, really. So, kind of preparing for this because I don't do maritime law, but in terms of the jurisdiction, what I was able to kind of dig up is that most cruise ships are flagged. So they have a flag or a registration in whatever country is kind of their, you know, they elect to have as their home base, like whether it's the Bahamas or Panama or whatever. And it could be for various reasons, taxes, you know, the places that most are
almost none are registered to the U.S. I think there's one cruise ship. Yeah, there's one, I think, that is registered, and that's like it.
Liberia.
Everything's like Nassau or other countries for the most part.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, you're going to have the flagged state or country is going to have the primary jurisdiction under maritime law, you know, but that the problem with that is it conflicts with the, you know, the reality, practical reality of it. Like who's conducting the investigation at this point? I mean, you know, it's like, and it also depends on where the death occurred. So they're going to have to really try to narrow it down. If it's territorial waters, like say, for instance, if they were in a port of call, you know, and I think the rule is if they're within 12 nautical miles of a coast, that country has jurisdiction wherever they may have gone in as a port of call. If it's out international waters, it's going to be the flag state. If they're on the way home and they were getting in closer to U.S. territory, or they were in U.S. territorial waters, U.S. has jurisdiction. So, I mean, it's going to depend on a lot on the timeline that they're able to build in terms of who is going to be handling this.
It's something like this. No matter what, there's a tragedy. People want to point fingers. People want to blame somebody. People want a boogeyman and everything, where if only this happened, if only this was done better, this couldn't have happened. And because in reality, that's the truth. And I think a lot of folks are starting to look inward here at the family and at the parents and at the decision-making processes. And there's a lot to glean off of the information that we've already gotten about this family, of maybe not the best choices have been made in the past. Again, nothing necessarily to do with the cruise itself, but a pattern of behavior nonetheless. Let me ask this, is there or could there be any sort of liability criminally for the parents, if they had known that there was a threat to Anna, that there was issues with this boy and her? And here's another one to throw into the mix. She's 18. He's 16. She's technically an adult. But they were put into the same room together. Could there be any sort of issues there for parents if they basically ignored warning signs that there could be some sort of danger to her, not even necessarily death, but if some of the rumors that are flying around turn out to be true, that Anna feared of some sort of issue with the 16-year-old having some sort of an interest in her in some inappropriate way, and the parents still ignored it. It's all scenario. Not saying they did. I'm just curious if that can be proven. Could they face their own charges for putting them into a dangerous place?
Yeah, I mean, obviously not anything related to the homicide itself. There could be some endangerment type charges if they had knowledge, but foreseeability is always going to be the issue with that. You know, was it reasonably foreseeable for them to know that something like that would happen? I think the more likely scenario will be, because I'm assuming that the family is like, where the fuck is Anna? To him.
Yeah, you know, right.
Yeah. Like I don't know what the time frame was, like the gap in time, like from the point where,
you know, basically the evening to the morning, when the morning there, she's not showing up to anything.
Okay.
And then housekeeping gets in there and the cleaning crew gets it, checks it in the morning. Basically.
I mean, so the kid was, you know, too fucking stupid to even put the, I'm good, don't clean my cabin shit on his.
Right. His right. And I'm actually quite encouraged that the cleaning crew looked under the bed.
Yeah.
Rock on.
For sure. I mean, maybe it was one of the, maybe don't be too excited, because it could have been like
a leg hanging out
or a pull out couch type situation. Okay. And they were just putting the couch back in. You know, so I can't really see what they would go after the parents for in terms
do they, because she's 18 as well.
Right.
So she's technically an adult. She's still in high school. So there's a differential there. Yes, 18, but when you're still in school, there are certain things where yes, they are an adult, but still kind of technically a minor, depending on whatever it is we're actually talking about in terms of responsibility for the parents. I have no idea how that plays out here.
Yeah, I don't either. It's going to be... There's so many factors involved in terms of how this thing went down, you know, and until they are able to really kind of, and again, who was the cruise line? Do we know?
Carnival.
All right. So if it's a U.S. cruise line, I mean, I think that the feds will be able to investigate it.
Yeah. The FBI's on it. The FBI.
Yeah. So the feds are going to be in there because it's U.S. citizens. Mm-hmm. And then, once they decide where they're going to prosecute it, they, you know, under maritime statutes, are going to be able to do it theoretically in a U.S. court. So if, as long as it's a U.S. cruise line, the Carnival certainly is that. I think that they'll take precedent over whoever the flag state is, I think. So, because if the feds are looking at it, then, you know, but in terms of what they're going to do with it, I mean, you can feel secure in the fact that the feds are going to be investigating it way more thoroughly than, say, like the Bahamian police would have, sure, or the Panamanian police. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever flag country would have been conducting the investigation. Because it's like when you think about that Amy Bradley case, which was so weird, you know, that investigation was awful. You know, I mean, in the
very family, different time, though, too.
That
almost three decades ago.
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, I don't know how much maritime law has changed in all those years in terms of, you know, because jurisdiction's everything, you know, really. So in terms of whether or not they're going to be able to, again, charge those parents with anything, I can't think of anything other than if they became aware that something had happened. And I mean, because it seems that a conversation took place, because I like the way that it goes down. So the cleaning crew cleans the cabin. They find her. Like, at what point does grandma have this conversation with the kid?
Well, what happens, let me clear that up for you. So the grandparents are on the cruise. I just did an interview the other day. They were talking about that they had said to the family, this is what they're claiming, that, you know, hey, you know, all the kids, everything seems to be, you know, okay together. But if anybody needs to, you know, any, you know, issues, you know, you can always come to our room. There's, you know, we'll figure any problems out. They're sitting there in the morning, and then they hear the call over the loudspeaker that there's a medical emergency in room, whatever the room number is. They know that room number. It's that room number. It's their grandkids' room number. And they're like, what the hell? They end up finding out what happened. The grandmother says that she was there for part of the time when some of the initial questioning was going on, and this is where she had gleaned that he had said he doesn't remember anything about that moment in time. And it's also where she gleaned that he was basically an emotional wreck. So she physically saw those things and audibly heard those things take place before or during that process of once they got back onto land or whatever that was going on while the initial questioning was going on. And
so is that a biological grandparent to the boy?
I believe to her. I could be
to Anna.
I could be incorrect, but it's
We need the whiteboard to figure out.
I mean, because all those things matter.
Yeah,
sure.
Right. Yeah. Like, so it would seem to me,
I believe it was Anna's.
So the victims, which is strange that, like, how long had this family been blended? Like, how long were the parents married?
This was his third marriage, and it wasn't super long. I believe it's been in the last few years, if I'm correct on that. There was a previous marriage, which had been to the allegations floating around her that it was, and these are the allegations, was that it was the previous babysitter. There had been a dismissed claim that had been brought by second wife's mother when she was a minor. I can't say that. We don't know that it was the second wife's, but it was the mother of the second wife. We don't know who the claim was about earlier on. We're assuming that it probably was the second wife of some sort of unlawful thing going on between dad and the 15-year-old. But then when she turns 18, they get married. Now, if that is the exact same person that the dropped allegations or things are about, we don't know, but it's the same family. It's the same mother. It's the same last name. It's the same whoever the person is that turned 18 years old came from the same house where those allegations had been flowing that were dismissed early on. So that's another part of the dynamic is growing up. Mom is gone. Mom turns into a drug addict. Mom flees to Oklahoma with her boyfriend when Anna is four. Dad then essentially marries, from what we're understanding here, allegedly, the 18-year-old who might have been the previous babysitter. And then she's mom for many years. They eventually get divorced after, I believe, more than 10 years, and two more kids come into the world. And then this is the new wife that is on the cruise with her own children, as well as the kids from the second marriage and Anna.
This is the worst version of the Brady Bunch I've ever heard in my life. So,
this is an episode of Springer.
All right, wait a second. It is definitely an episode of Springer. So who's the mother to the kid, the stepson? Is it the new wife or is it the second
wife? Yes, it's the new wife.
Okay. So that's one of her kids. So that's why she's clamming up.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And then obviously, and
there's a custody battle going on there with her ex. And that's why she's pleading the fifth, because it could affect the custody battle. And the father of those kids is trying to file an emergency injunction to get custody of his daughter, because he's claiming allegedly that it's not a safe or good environment for her to be living in with this family. And I would say that's a pretty strong argument.
I mean, it got a lot stronger after this cruise. A
little bit.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Well, it sounds like there's some back pay, too, with child support and all kinds of other crap going on behind the scenes. You know, just a little icing on the cake.
Yeah. Man, what a mess. It's a really, really strange.
It's a really simple case with a lot of crazy family dynamics.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you have a camera, you have key cards, you can determine who was in and out of this room. And there's only one answer to then what happened, to who did what to who.
Yeah.
That's pretty straightforward.
I mean,
but then you look at the chaos surrounding all this, and then that's what makes you go, oh, that's why this happened. The collective chaos of a family unit that is enthralled in this type of life, where it's just Band-Aid after Band-Aid and bad decision after bad decision. And good times, bad times. I mean, every family is different. Every family has their levels of chaos to them. This one's happened to have a lot of it, it seems. Yeah. And at the end of the day, it makes you really feel bad for Anna and, you know, the life that she was growing up around and what she saw as being normal. And then it's not, I guess, shocking then when something like this happens out of a family with that level of chaos in it.
Yeah. I mean, the blended families are obviously not a rare thing.
No.
You know, but like from kind of from birth to, you know, when she's four and her mom's an addict and leaves her, you know, I mean, she's had a rough go of it and, you know, dad marrying multiple times. And that's just an injection of other kids coming into it and there's no sense of stability. And it's just, yeah, it's sad.
It's chaotic. Yeah. Even when you're doing it calmly,
it's
chaotic. Even when it's like fairly smooth sailing, you know, and that's, I mean, I just got engaged and I'm, you know, so we're having a blended family, but it's, you know, there it's chaos then, but it's controlled chaos, you know, and that's the difference, I think, in a lot of these cases. So overall, it's a heartbreaking case, something that clearly, there seems to be a lot of signs it was avoidable. This certainly didn't have to happen. Why did it happen? Is there someone you can truly point the finger at and blame for putting these people in these situations? I don't know if you can go that far. Clearly, someone is to blame for wrapping their arm around this young girl and killing her. But beyond that, I don't know.
Yeah.
How much, I mean, you can blame the chaos.
I don't know either. And, you know, if you just remove the ship from the equation and it had happened at the house.
You know, I don't think nobody would be hearing about this.
Right. I mean, it would be just like, right. It was that factor. Cause I mean, it could have been a thing where he's simply, you know, they're wrestling or maybe he was getting weird sexually with her and she's like, you know, get the fuck off me. And then throws her in a chokehold and he doesn't realize he's killing her.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that's where it ends.
I heard plenty of dumbass 16-year-olds, you know, that would do that sort of shit, the chokehold stuff. And, you know, and people would be like nearly dying. And then they're, oh, okay, well, let go. And then it was just like, oh, they're just 16. They have so much testosterone. And it's just kind of like brushed off, like boys will be boys.
Yeah, you know, it's like
killers will be killers someday, like too.
Lenny, yeah. Lenny from Of Mice and
Men. Thank you. I was thinking Lenny. Oh, my God. I don't know my own strength. I mean, how big is this guy? That's my question.
Yeah.
You know, is he so big that he doesn't understand his strength? I remember being at a live broadcast in radio and we had a listener who was challenged and he was a very large boy and he would come up and give you a bear hug and he cracked one of my ribs once. He didn't know.
Yeah.
He had no idea. And I'm like, I am in so much pain. Well, finally went and got an X-ray and I had a cracked rib.
Yeah.
From his bear hug. He just thought he was just, ooh, I love listening to you in the morning, and came up from behind, gave a hug, didn't know.
Yeah, it's shocking, you know, what some folks are completely unaware of. I just watched the video of Anna's mother, which is another video that you can watch here on the channel. And the chaos in that, again, she wasn't on the cruise. She had nothing to do really with the daughter much. But you just watch it and go, God, everywhere young Anna Kempner looked, there was not any light shining from the places that it should have been.
Yeah.
And that's a real set. But it sounds really, and the real tragic part is it sounds like she did have quite a light. She knew what she wanted to do. She wanted to go into the military. She was planning for this. She was planning for that. She had, it seemed, you know, she might have been the bright star that was going to break out of the dark family.
Yeah.
And had some good direction despite all of the limitations that had been dealt to her, but then was taken out by a very poor decision, or possibly even worse.
Yeah,
that's the scary part. Sad. Bob Mata, defense attorney, host of the podcast Defense Diaries. And if you are out there right now, I was posting about this on Saturday night after I had Thanksgiving with my new future in-laws. Hey. I was sitting down having a beverage or two at the bar, and I was going through stuff. I'm like, oh, you got some new episodes there of Buried. So please do go check out Buried if you're going on a road trip over the next handful of days. How many episodes? Like 17? Is that where you're?
I think 18 dropped early this morning. So okay. Yeah, wow. There's a lot out there.
Yes. Buried.
It's great. Yeah. It's great.
It is available right now. The John Wayne Gacy. Buried, quote,
Inside the John Wayne Gacy investigation.
Buried. Yes. Inside the John Wayne. I always miss the word inside. Inside the John Wayne Gacy investigation. Of course, also Defense Diaries, your other podcast. So do check that out. All right. Until next time, for Todd, for Stacey, for Bob, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.